Okay. Good evening. Question three, elders class, you're used to it. So we're going to start the lesson from our brother about our discussion. I titled my lesson tonight, "There Shall Be No Other Gods Before Me," says Jehovah. Bible to Exodus chapter 20, verse 1 through 7. God spoke all these words, saying, "I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt and out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image, likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is on the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquities of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands, to those who love me, my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain." On, God means what he says in these verses, and clearly says what he means about not putting substitute gods before him. If we drop down to verse 22 and 23 of Exodus chapter 20, it says, "Then the Lord said to Moses, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, you have seen the help with you from the heaven. You shall not make anything to be with me, gods of silver or gods of gold. You shall not make for yourselves." He further emphasizes this point of when they are preparing to go into the land of Canaan, the promised land. Chapter 23 and verse 24. Turn over. Exodus chapter 23 and verse 24. It says, "You shall not bow down to their gods, not serve them, nor do according to their works. But you shall utterly overthrow them and completely break down their sacred pillars." Verses 32 and 33 of that same chapter stresses, "You shall make no covenant with them nor with their gods. They shall not dwell in your land, lest they make you sin against them. If you serve their gods, it will surely be a snare to you." Also, we recall that when they went into the promised land, did they destroy all their enemies? Did they fulfill not? So, one of the challenges that we face as Christians, as human beings, as people, is that we are influenced by what other people are doing around us. We're constantly looking at the other congregation, or we're looking at these churches down the street. It interests us. Or we go and we see something that's happening in the world, and it kind of interests us. So we're kind of looking and we're trying to, you know, what can that be like that? Jealous because of what the other person is enjoying or doing. Probably something that we shouldn't be interested in the first place. Therefore, the Israelites didn't heed that warning. We also need to not follow their example, but learn from their example and remember what the Lord has said. Go in your Bibles to James chapter 4 and verse 4. Somebody gets there, go ahead and read it. So friendship with the world is opposite. That word enmity means opposite. God doesn't go for these things or doesn't promote what's happening in the world. A lot of things that are happening in the world. God doesn't support or doesn't authorize or command us to do these things. So we need to be very, very careful. Go to Romans chapter 1 and verse 25. Help me out a little bit here since I got to communicate two different ways here. Got this one. I'm going to start at verse 24. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness and the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worship and served the creature rather than blessed forever. Amen. So we need to be careful that we're not trying to worship the people. Talk about a little about idols in a minute. There's many different things that can become idols. Things that attract us. It could be a person, it could be a place, it could be a thing, it could be a picture, it could be something, an image, any kind of image that we have that excites us, that interests us. So if you read this chapter 1 of Romans, very powerful. Well, all of God's word is powerful. They're talking about those who are going after their own lust. And so one of the concerns that we need to be concerned about as Christians, us trying to change what God has already authorized in his worship, in his form of worship, how he wants to be worshipped, expected from us as priests. We're going to get to that also. We are priests. Every Christian in this room, ability. Shortly after God had told them through Moses not to place any other gods before him, they did give in. They relented and sinned by making a physical god out of gold, the golden calf. Go to Exodus chapter 32 and verse 1. Now, when the people saw that Moses delayed coming down from the mountain, the people gathered together to Aaron and said to him, "Come, make us gods that shall go before us. For as for this Moses, this man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him." Interesting. So he wasn't gone, maybe for a short period of time. And they already forgot that quickly what Jehovah God had told them. Imagine that. So verses 7 and 8 of Exodus chapter 32 says, "And the Lord said to Moses, 'Go get down, for your people whom you brought out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves.'" You see that? God is telling them, "Hey, you better go down and see about your peoples." I'm kind of putting in the vernacular. "They have turned aside quickly," verse 8, "out of the way which I commanded them. They have made themselves a molten calf and worship it and sacrifice to it and said, 'This is your God, O Israel, that brought you out of the land of Egypt.'" So after they had seen and felt with their ears and with their eyes the presence of God, and he had spoke to them through Moses. So what happened? They forgot. Short period of time. As you are aware that the original Jews that left Egypt wandered around in the wilderness for 40 years, and that the original group, they died off and did not make it to the promised land. Only Joshua and Caleb made it. And as a consequence of their disobedience, so because of their disobedience, make it into the promised land. Even though they were, again, they saw with their eyes, heard with their ears, they were eyewitnesses of God's divine power and presence with them. They rejected God. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 through 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 through 4. This talks about what they did in the New Testament. Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud, all went through the sea, all were baptized into Moses, into the cloud and in the sea. All ate the same spiritual food, all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that of the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. So they seen all these miracles. They saw the presence of God. What are we going to do? Okay, we have God's presence in a different way. Right here. This Bible. God's Word. So we haven't seen God with our eyes. We haven't heard God speak. So are we going to be worse off than them? Also, under the law of Moses, appointed and consecrated Aaron and his sons as priests from the tribe of Levi. And the worship to Jehovah God was offered through members of the Levitical priesthood. Leviticus chapter 8 and Numbers chapter 18 shows us when these priests were consecrated and dedicated to the Lord for the ministering unto God. Now let's go to Leviticus in the Old Testament. We're not going to read, we're just going to want to emphasize that these priests had responsibilities in service and in worship and offering worship to God and taking this, we're going to read probably maybe 3 or 4 verses. We'll start at verse 8. So I want you to know that these men were picked by Aaron. So Leviticus chapter 8, 1 through 4, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, take Aaron and his sons with him, and the garments, the anointing oil, a bull, and the sin offering, 2 rams, and a basket of an unleavened bread, and gather all the congregation together at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. So Moses did as the Lord commanded, and the congregation was gathered together at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. John, it talks about their consecration, their dedication before the Israelite people. God consecrated the tribe of Levi for his purpose. These Levite priests were dedicated to the Lord and had their dress they adorned themselves not only physically but mentally and spiritually. They humbled themselves in a specific way as ordered by God. Go to Exodus chapter 28. More material than I have time, but I'm a baseball fan, so I'm gonna tell you something. Throws a curve, not a curveball, but a fastball. Pitcher throws a fastball. Most of the time, he's not trying to hide it. He's gonna let you know, I'm low. So there's a point that I want to make tonight. So I'm, you know, the picture kind of uses the word telegraphs. It kind of something that we're going to announcement we're going to make about the streaming. So continuing on here, all of the offerings sent up to God were done by the priests in a specific manner, as requested by God. For an example, the burnt offerings, you can find that in Leviticus chapter 1 and verses 1 through 9. I'm going to read a couple of verses here. Now the Lord called to Moses and spake to him from the tabernacle. Offering to the Lord, you shall bring your offering of God. And if offering is a burnt sacrifice of the herd, so I'm going to stop right there. So I just wanted to establish there were different types of sacrifices that they had to make. This was a burnt offering. Was one different type. There were about. So I'm going to drop down in that same chapter of Leviticus chapter 1. The sons of Aaron, the priest, shall put fire on the altar and lay wood in order on the fire. Then the priest, Aaron's son, shall lay parts of the head and the fat. And drop down to the last verse, and the priest shall burn all on the altar as a burnt sacrifice, as an offering made by had responsibilities. Please keep in mind and remember that God expected the Israelites to follow his instructions when they offered up worship and sacrifice to him, and he would not accept their worship requirements for acceptable worship. Now, to prove this point, God did not allow the Jews to change to different kinds of worship or to change what he had commanded. He didn't allow them to substitute things in or out. This is not authorized. I'm going to look at some examples of people who attempted or tried to change worship in the Old Testament. And they were going to offer up something worship, but it was not according to God's will. We're going to see what happened to some of these people. The first example that I want to bring to light is Nadab and Abihu. Let's go to Leviticus chapter 10, verses 1 through 3. Leviticus 10, 1 through 3. Then Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, each took his censer and put fire in it, put incense on it, and offered profane fire before the Lord, which he had not commanded them. So the fire went out from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. And Moses said to Aaron, "This is what the Lord spoke, saying, by those who come near me, I must have regarded as holy, and before all the people, I must be glorified." This is a very important statement in verse 3 here of Leviticus chapter 10, and that we need to always remember in the New Testament as worshipers under Christ, by those who come near me, I must be regarded as holy. For all the people, I must be glorified. So our worship and devotion to God on the first day of the week, Sunday, must be offered in a respectful and a dignified way to God and not in a half-hearted or a casual manner. So remember Leviticus chapter 10, verse 1 through 3, especially verse 3. God wants to be glorified. He wants to be exalted. If you're going to come in and worship, God expects you to be holy in thinking and also in that we know what we're doing and why we're doing it and whose presence that we're in front of. Second example is the rebellion of Korah in Numbers chapter 16, verses 1 through 7. Now, if you were in the Bible class with Brother Obed, studying Jude, talked a lot about this example. Now, and so Numbers chapter 16, 1 through 7. Can somebody turn to that and read it for me? Numbers chapter 16, 1 through 7. Up and down to verse 23 and 24. So the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Get away from the tents of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram." Verse 26. And he spoke to the congregation, saying, "Depart now from the tents of these with all their sins." And Moses said, "By this you shall know that the Lord has sent me to do all." Down to verse 31 and 32. "Earth opened his mouth and swallowed them up with their households and all of the men with Korah and with their goods. So they and all those with them went down alive into the pit." Now, we see the danger of this example. In our day and age, there's a really serious danger in going against the full God. So even today, we need to take heed to this warning, because if we go against God, you know, God is not going to allow the earth to open up and swallow us. But, you know, we can be sure that we're going to be held responsible for the things that we're doing. All right, so you can see 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, 7 through 9. That tells us if third example that I want to use tonight, Uzziah. In 2 Chronicles 6, verses 16 through 21. "And he was strong in his heart and was lifted up to his destruction, for he transgressed against the Lord his God by entering into the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar. So Azariah the priest went in after him, and with him were 80 priests of the Lord, valiant men, and they withstood King Uzziah and said to him, 'It is not for you, Lord, but for the priests, the sons of Aaron, who were consecrated to burn incense. Get out of the sanctuary, for you have trespassed. You shall have no honor from the Lord.' Then Uzziah became furious. While he was angry with the priest, leprosy broke out on his forehead before the priest in the house of the Lord, beside the incense, beside the altar. And Azariah, the chief priest, and all the priests looked at him, and there on his forehead he was leprous, and they thrust him out of that place." So we see that King Uzziah, the king, tried to go in and try to alter worship. Look what happened to him. The Lord. Likewise, under the Christian age, our worship will also be rejected, which will ultimately result in a rejection on Judgment Day. And our souls can be eternally lost from this. So in John chapter 12 and verse 48, God says, "He who rejects me and doesn't receive my words," I'm summarizing, "the same words that I've spoken will judge him in the last day." That's John chapter 12. Now in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 6, the scripture warns us about not going outside or beyond what is written, because we already have everything that we need to obey God and to serve God. Currently, under the law of Christ, the Christian age, we must worship God in the way that he has already commanded, authorized on the first day of the week. For as an atonement or an acceptable sin offering to blot out our sins, if we repent, our sin offering is Jesus Christ. Jesus is our sin offering. He was offered once and for all for the sins of the whole world. Also, Jesus is far greater than Aaron, who was the high priest in the Old Testament. In like manner, Jesus Christ is our high priest forever, who will never die or be replaced. Go in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 8, verses 1 through 2. Chapter 8, verses 1 through 2. Now, this is the main point of the things we are saying. We have such a high priest who is seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord erected and not man. So Jesus Christ is our high priest. He's in heaven interceding for our behalf. Now, I wanted to drive this point home here. I got just a few short minutes here. Question to you. Who are the priests today? Not the high priest. That's Christ. Who are the priests today in the lowest church? Who are the priests? So those new priests under a better covenant are you and I, as I said. Yes, we are now the spiritual priests who are now responsible for offering up worship that is acceptable to God. So, turn to 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 through 10. 1 Peter chapter 2, 9 through 10. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. Lost my place here. A holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Who once were not a people, but are now a people of God, who have attained mercy, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained. I'm going to move to a close here to make practical application of this lesson tonight to everyday situations and events we already have encountered and will continue to face in the future in our attempt to worship God. Not place our God in a inferior or lesser position, or alter God's commanded worship requirements through the technology that we have available today. It's talking about the ability to live stream worship services. We are commanded by God to assemble and worship on the first day of the week. We are mentally and physically able to attend God. It is convenient, better or more acceptable to stay home and not attempt to worship. This is not acceptable and is downgrading or putting our Lord and placing him in a lesser or a inferior position. Some of our members in the past and in the present may have violated this principle and have chosen. The point is that if you are not even because of the physical challenge, live streaming cannot be used as a alternative or a replacement for worshiping God in mass if we are physically able. An important conclusion that this eldership has decided to prevent any further temptation or to downgrade our Lord and his worship is that beginning in November, we will no longer be able to access the live streaming via when you go to the website, the Southeast website, you're not going to be able to access or by subscribing to the channel via YouTube. Okay? Only those members who are physically unable to come will be sent the access to live streaming directly for the opportunity to worship. If they are actively participating, that's a condition. If you are active by elements of worship, if anyone is just watching, then their worship is not acceptable. Also remember, neither is your worship acceptable if you come here on Sunday not participating. You're not participating in the five acts of worship. Remember the priests in the Old Testament. We remember a little bit over. I was just going to say, if you have any questions about that, that should be not be a surprise, because we're trying to ensure that we elders are not enabling our members. Our brother in Christ, Brother Phil, will conclude these lessons on knowing what constitutes an acceptable worship and ensuring that we are exhibiting the proper behavior and how we are worshiping God to ensure that he is glorified and exalted. Remember Leviticus, that God is glorified and exalted. Brother Phil will discuss the proper spiritual and the physical adorning, properly adorn themselves, not only physically, but also mentally and spiritually. So this concludes my lesson tonight. I apologize for having to sign and speak. I know that probably was a distraction. Father, we thank you for this time we've had to share and study how you handle those situations where water down or downgrade your commandments and what you are warning, and that we will do those things necessary always. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.